open your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. Let's look at verse 14 here. Actually, let's back up just a little bit. Let's see. Let me find exactly where I want to get here. I think I have accidentally marked mine wrong. Let's see. Matthew chapter 9, verse 14. I am not in the right place, so you've got to give me just a minute here, okay? Oh, let's see. Well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to preach it because I ain't got it in the right place, okay? Is that all right, you guys? Okay. Jesus comes into the crowd of people. His disciples are there, and he sees there's this commotion that's going on. And so as he comes into the crowd, he begins to question and say, what's going on here? And a man comes up and he says, you know, Master, I brought my son to your disciples. He's got a spirit in him, and I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't cast him out. And Jesus said, where's he at? Show him to me. And so, and I'm paraphrasing, okay. So he brings the boy to him and asks him, he said, how long's he been like this? And he says, of a youth. And he said, you know, a lot of times he'll try to drown him. A lot of times he'll try to throw him in the fire and to burn him and that kind of thing. And so as the man's talking, the people are starting to gather around. And when Jesus sees them coming around, he looks at him. And the man says, if you can do anything, help us. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that can believe. And the man said, I believe. Help me, thou mine unbelief. In other words, he said, I believe, but I need some help believing in this thing. And Jesus saw the crowd, people watching, and so in order to give God the glory, he goes ahead, cast out the demon, and when the demon comes out, the Bible says he tore him. In other words, he created a commotion, threw him on the ground, and left him to look like he's dead. Matter of fact, people around were saying he's dead. And then Jesus got a hold of his hand and lifted him up and raised him up. And the spirit was gone. The boy was cleansed of the spirit, and people were amazed at what happened. Now, the reason I wanted to tell you that story is because I want to get in on the fact that Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Okay? Now, here's why I want to bring out of this, and I want us to get in this part of it, is the fact that the man says, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Now, see, the reason I want to say that is because there's a little of him in every one of us. Amen. Now, you look at me and say, what do you mean? Well, I'm saying this. I'm saying the man says, I believe what you say, but I'm having trouble with it. You know, we know that the Word of God is true, right? Matter of fact, when we start talking about faith, the first step of faith is absolutely believing that the Word of God is 100% true. Amen. We have to believe that the Word of God is 100% true. Right? God's not a man that he can lie. Right? The Word's forever settled in heaven. But it's us. Okay? We're the ones that have some, even though we know it's true, we still have a hard time with some of it. I got one or two honest people. If you're telling me that you don't have any problem with any of it, then you should be walking in perfect health and should be absolutely positively financially well off. Now, if you have need in an area, then it means you're not walking in full 100% belief of the Word. Right? Come on now, let's just be honest. I'm not trying to condemn us here. I'm just trying to show us that we've got areas of improvement, and we can look at this guy and we can think, he kind of got down unbelief there. But Jesus laid a heavy statement on him. And it's a heavy statement for us. If you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. So no matter what it is, if you can believe according to Jesus, it's possible. And so there's areas that, you know, and we don't like to, listen, we're word of faith people. We don't like to admit that we fail in some areas. Right? You know, we won't hardly admit that we're, you know, that we have symptoms of sickness. Right? Well, the reason for that is because we know the Word says by His stripes we were healed. So we know that divine healing is part of God's will for us, but yet here we are with maybe some sniffles, maybe something else going on. And we know it doesn't have any right to be in our body, but we also know that if we want rid of that, we're going to have to get into the Word, dig out the Scriptures for our healing in the Word, and then believe it and receive it. Amen. Come on, let's be real. I don't want to be a fake Christian. I don't want to put on a facade. We have struggles too, even though we're Word of Faith people. Now thank God we're not where we were at, right? I mean, I remember at one point, you know, we didn't even know healing was available to us. But we've learned that, and we know that divine healing is possible for us. But we're still working in some areas because it messes with our natural mind and what we've seen and what we've grown up with. And so it's hard for us to put that away and allow God's Word to supersede what we've already had implanted into us, right? So if we're believing that the Word is true, and that's what we have to do, but we have to understand that faith is a process. Okay? What I mean by that? Well, the Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God," right? You can only have faith for the Word that you know. I've taught this before. If you don't know the Word concerning something, then you can't have faith toward that. That's why a lot of people pray, "If it be the Lord's will." And it's really a prayer of doubt and unbelief because they don't know if they can have it or not. And if you don't know you can have it, then you can't get it. It's just put it where. But if you know it's there, then you can have faith for that Word. But, you know, it's even though we know this, difficult areas in our life, you know, that we've not been used to operating in faith, it gets a little harder for us, right? I mean, you know, I've told this before. I'll tell it again. I remember when we first got into this thing, you know, I'd been studying, you know, reading Brother Hagin's books, Kenneth E. Hagin's books, and, you know, on faith, you know, he was a Baptist before he got filled with the Holy Spirit, so I could relate to him, you know, because I were one too, you know, and then the power of the Holy Spirit had come upon me. And so I'm reading and, man, I'm just eating up all that he's talking about and I'm backing it up by the Word of God. And so real quickly, I built up faith toward healing. Real quickly, I did. I started building. I mean, you know, I really at that point was getting myself to where, you know, I was really, didn't matter what, you know. I was getting myself to that place, you know. But now when it came to finances, it was different for me because I had never really had a job that, I mean, I always worked. I've been working since I was 15 as far as public work. Was in corn patches and tobacco patches when we was big enough to kind of get through them with a hoe or carrying water or whatever we did, 10 cents an hour, 25 cents an hour, a little later on or whatever, and thought we was getting it, had it rich. But even when I worked in the mines, it was $6 an hour and driving to Martin County. So we never did have an abundance of money, okay? So I'd never operated having a lot of money. But when I got together with Pastor Jim Daniels at that time, he'd worked jobs and he was used to making good money. And so for him, money wasn't as much an issue. He was able to believe for prosperity and money to come. I can remember when we got ready to build that church over there in Paintsville. It's Concord now over where the building's at. But we were getting ready to borrow money, and I don't remember what was $100,000+ and maybe $150,000-$160,000. Well, I was just like, how in the world are we ever going to pay for that? You know, now I knew what the Word said, but you got to understand, I hadn't took that leap of faith toward finances yet. Healing? No problem. I'd lay hands on you in a heartbeat. You know, as they say, you know, and drop the hat. Right? Finances was different. But as we went into this thing, and I started studying then on finances and believing God, because we had to believe for God. Matter of fact, Pastor Ed and I over there, I'm not saying this to say anything about us, but I'm just going to show you that if you have faith about something, you have to practice that faith. Okay? You have to apply that faith. And so when we got the building built, well, we had the money to get the building built, but you know how many knows just building the building is just to start? You know, there's got to be pews, there's got to be sound systems, we didn't have the money over there to at that time to buy a sound system because we'd gotten everything else. And so I just told Pastor Ed, and she would agree with me, we went and financed in our name the sound system over there and paid for it ourselves. Up to a point to where once the church started doing good, then the pastor told her, she was secretary over there, he said, go ahead and make sure you pay that all so you guys don't have to pay that. Now, I'm telling you that to show you that we decided that we was all in finances too. And so even if we had to pay for it ourselves and give it to the church, you see, that was us honoring God with our money. And God has blessed us ever since. I mean, He's continually blessed us to do that. But I'm telling you that story to let you know that in the beginning, we were struggling with that. You may be struggling in some areas right now. And what you have to do is you have to just keep pressing in. Keep finding the word that promises you the blessing for doing whatever it is that you need to do there. When it comes to finances, find the word. Find out about giving. Look at your giving and see how God wants to bless you for giving. And once you start doing what the word says, then God will always do His part. Amen. Now, you might not become a millionaire overnight, but I promise you, your finances will start changing because you're doing what the word of God says and you're obeying the word, and God watches over His word to hasten it. Okay, so when it comes to faith, it is a process. Things don't happen all at once. You know, sometimes we'll do a special offering for something or whatever. You might not start out being able to say, well, I'm going to give $1,000 or $2,000 or $10,000, whatever it is. You may start out saying, you know what, I believe I can do $25. Well, that's a step, but don't stay at that step. Because if you want increase, then you've got to push in and increase your faith toward what you're giving toward. Always toward the things of God. Amen. Don't ever give anything because of pressure. Make sure you're listening to God and doing what God says. And I'm going to just tell you this, and I don't know how we got it. It's not part of my message, but I'll tell you this anyway. If God tells you to do something, do it. Even if it seems like it's much for you. Okay? Because God's got intentions to bless you and change things for you. If you remember Jesus, I've taught on this before too, but you know, I've been here now, we're coming on 27 years, so I'm going to teach on a few things a few times, because there's nothing new under the sun. But Jesus was standing there when the widow gave all she had. He was watching people give, and He didn't stop her because He said they gave out of their abundance, she gave out of her need. He knew that her need would be supplied plus because of the act that she did, her act of faith, believing God. So it's a process. We learn to begin to believe God in areas we'll have some problem. You may have some areas. You may struggle in some areas concerning healing. You may struggle in other areas. And that's areas that we've not been used to operating that way. And we've got to learn to. We've got to find the scriptures. We've got to back it up. So when we start to see that we're having some struggles, then what we do is we give those areas more attention. In other words, we find the scriptures to back up what the word says, and then we start doing what that word says in those areas. And that'll strengthen us in those areas. That'll strengthen our faith in those areas. So once we decide the word is true 100%, and I believe all of us in here believe that, then what we got to do is we've got to start inputting that word into us. It's just like kind of in a computer, you have to input data before you can get anything out of it. Well, after a while, you'll find out that you have to update that computer. And the update will have new information that overrides the old information and brings everything up to date. Now, for you and I, most of us have old data. Come on now, I know I'm full of old data when I begin to input the word into me. And you have to allow, though, this new data. You have to allow the Word of God to override what you know, what you see, what you hear, what things you've been taught. Amen. And sometimes that's hard for us. You know, I remember a lady one time, they were coming here, and I was teaching along some of the things I'm teaching now, teaching the truth of the Word. And she came up to me and she said, "You mean everything I've been taught all my life is a lie?" And I said, "Well, you know, I wouldn't say it's a lie, but you've just not been taught the whole truth." You know, and she couldn't handle it. It just did. I mean, she did just, you know, she kind of caused her to freeze up, you know, start circling. She couldn't go anywhere, you know, with that. And eventually they just quit coming because they couldn't handle it. I remember another gentleman, Jerry Gullett was talking to him, and he said, "Man," he said, "I know it's true, but," he said, I just can't do it." You see, and what that means is sometimes the world or tradition or religion can have a hold on us, and we have to be willing to let that go for what the Word of God says. Because I'm going to tell you, religion won't get you to heaven. Tradition will not get you to heaven. Religion won't get you blessed, won't get you healed. Tradition won't get you blessed, won't get you healed. Amen. I grew up in a time when there was a lot of old wives' fables. Okay? Now, how many ever heard the seventh son of a seventh son could do certain things? Right? My mother was a Tackett and married a Tackett. And supposedly they could do. I can remember, and I've told this too, but I can remember when she was little. I mean, when I was little, people would bring their kids to my mom and have her blow in their mouth because they had thrush. That's what we call. Is it called thrush? But you know, Eastern Kentucky vernacular, right? Thrash, right? Okay. She would blow in their mouth. Now, I don't ever remember whether they came back, but as far as I know, apparently it worked because, you know, somebody else had come. They'd hear about it or whatever, you know. And you look there and you scratch your head. There ain't nothing biblical about that, but there is. There is, you see. It was not the seventh son of the seventh son. It was not my mother. It was the fact that the people, when they came, had faith. If that person would do it, then they'd receive healing. It was a faith. Not necessarily a godly faith, but they had faith. And here's the thing about faith. Faith works. But when you got the Word that backs that faith, it cannot fail. And so we have to make sure that we allow the Word of God to supersede anything else that we've been taught in our lives. I mean, even natural things. Because the natural goes against the supernatural. Your carnal mind goes against the mind of God. Our carnal mind goes against the Word of God. The Bible says that. It's an enemy to God, the Bible says. And so we have to allow the Word of God to come into us and allow that Word to be what shapes the way we think and act and talk. See, that's where God's trying to get us. God's trying to get us to be true anointed ones that are true believers of the Word, that speak the Word and act on the Word. That he's trying to get us there. And, you know, there's so much that we have in the world that pulls us away. And, you know, we wonder sometimes, how did people do this and how did people do that? Well, you've got to understand, in past times, it's not an excuse, but in past times, people didn't have devices. Come on now. People didn't have other vices. What most people did in the afternoon for entertainment was sit down and read their Bibles. Come on now. They studied more of the Word of God because they didn't have all this other stuff to keep them busy away from God. Now, they were hard workers, of course, and all that. But yet at the same time, the event of the week was Sunday morning church. It wasn't a ball game on Wednesday night or Tuesday night or any other night. Come on. Surely not a ball game on Sunday. Right? Sunday was, church was the place to be, even if you was a heathen. You know, people, there was those small churches and the church would get full and people, they'd open up the windows and people would stand around the outside and listen from the outside. That's how bad they wanted church because that was the social gathering, but yet at the same time, that's what people did. They went to church. And now we have air conditioning and padded pews and sound systems and all this. And what do people do? I don't know. Decide not to come in droves. Amen. You know, and I look around and I see all these empty seats that, and I would say, you know, well, that's what's going on at our church. But it's not just our church. I just talked with Pastor this week. How do you get people to come? How do you get them to come? See, the world holds so much interest for them that they get involved in that. Well, here's the thing. If I'm going to operate in faith, I'm going to have to operate in the faith of the Word of God, not in faith of my favorite hobby. Come on now. When it comes down to where the rubber meets the road, I better know the Word of God and be in contact with God and in fellowship with God if I'm expecting to receive what the Word says. Right? Come on, you know, when you get ready, let's say, you know, I'm going to build me a home. I'm going to need some money. Well, you don't go to the loan shark, right? You go to a banker, one that handles money, not somebody's going to take advantage of you, right? Come on, I'm trying to make a point here. Well, when it comes to the things of God, when I need healing, I can't go to a baseball coach. Basketball coach or a football coach or a football team or all the, you know, the pep band or none of them can help. I need God. So I better be in fellowship with God. And so my faith has got to lay there. And I know it sounds like it's hard, but I'm going to tell you something. You have to choose. Joshua said, choose who you're going to serve. And so we have to be able to let the Word of God input and let God's way of thinking override our way of thinking. God doesn't think like we think. Amen. See, you've got to understand, God already sees things done for us. And we see ourselves trying to get it done. And Jesus says it's already a done deal. The Word says it's already a done deal. Your healing is already done. By His stripes, you were healed. Amen. Your prosperity is already done. Jesus was made poor so that you could become rich. Now, along with those things, there's things in the Word. See, promises, people kind of feel like the promises of God just kind of fall out on you. But you see, everything you get from God has to be gotten by faith. And so you use your faith when it comes to healing. You get the scriptures. Then what I do, you begin to quote the scriptures. You begin to believe the scriptures and confess the scriptures. Same way with anything you get from God, you do it the way the Word says. It's, again, the process of faith, and we're going to talk about it just a little bit more. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Notice that it takes the Word of God and us renewing our mind to that Word of God so that we can get to the place where we're not conforming to the world. Now, once we begin to get this Word, once we have biblical information on a subject, then we can begin to operate in faith in it. Once you have the biblical background, you've got that, this is what the Bible says on it, now I can start to operate. Well, how do I do that? Well, once again, the first thing you've got to do is believe what you read. You've got to believe what you read. If you can't believe it, you can't receive it. It's just that simple. You can try it if you want to, but, you know, and here's the thing. Let me just tell you this. You can know something and still not believe it. Think about that one for a minute. You can know something and still not believe it. Amen. There's a lot of people out here right now going, and people that are Christians, and they know what the Word says about certain subjects, but they don't believe it. And they'll try to explain it away. You know, it's not for today, and it's this and that, and, you know, it's been done with and all that kind of stuff. But if the Word says it, it's still active. It's still in operation. It's just up to you whether or not you apply faith to that, whether you get it to where you can believe it. So believing, see, is the anchor point for everything that comes next. Believing what the Word says when it comes to operating in faith, that's the anchor. If you can't believe it, you can't receive it. Well, once I understand, I have that information, I believe that information, the next thing is our confession. Okay? Now, when we talk about, I believe, and now I'm going to confess, there's really two things that we need to know about that, because our confession is when we begin to speak or declare what we believe. Okay? Now, two things that we do there, and I hope I can bring these out right to you, okay? Jump over here with me to Mark 11:23. That ought to be pretty familiar with you. Mark 11:23. Jesus is speaking, and he's talking about faith because he just tells them to have faith in God in verse 22. But in verse 23, he says, "Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Now, here Jesus is using his authority to speak and change circumstances. He's telling you that you say to the mountain. You don't doubt in your heart, which means you believe it. But you also believe what you say is coming to pass. See, a confession can be the fact that I'm stepping up in my authority as a child of God, anointed of God, a born-again believer that's been filled with the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Ghost is working through him, that I can declare and begin to speak to situations and they change. Amen. See, I got one or two head shakes, and that's okay. You know, you can do what you want to do. You can go ahead and be destroyed by the enemy, or you can begin to stand up and take your authority and begin to speak at it, whatever it is the enemy's trying to do, speak and use your authority and change it. You don't have to let it happen. Well, what can I do? You have power on the inside of you, and the power is more power than the enemy has, Jesus said. He gave you power over all the power of the enemy. And Jesus here, unless he's a liar, said, if you say to the mountain, be removed, it's going to be removed. If you don't doubt in your heart and believe what you say. See, so your confession is so powerful, and especially those of authority. And Jesus has given us authority. Job 22:28, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and thy light shall shine upon the ways. Decreeing, declaring, speaking over. Jesus, another example, he spoke to the fig tree just a few verses before where we're at there. He spoke to it and said, don't let any fruit grow on you for hereafter. Well, a tree does what a tree does, and that's produce for fruit, right? If it's a fruit tree, it's supposed to produce fruit, and it just does that because that's its nature to do. So in order for that tree not to have any more fruit on it, it had to die. And it died from the roots up. Jesus spoke that to it. Okay? Jesus is on a ship, asleep. Storm comes, the disciples are freaking out. They go down and wake Jesus up. Don't you care that we perish? We're going to drown, all of us. Jesus walks out onto the bow of the ship and says, to the wind, peace, be still. He confessed to the wind. He said out of his mouth what the wind had to do. And the Bible says that the wind calmed, the seas sealed. It was a word of authority coming from Jesus. In the New Testament, Paul is trying to, he comes up and there's a sergeant in one of the cities, and the sergeant has called for at that time he was still, it was him and Silas running together. Okay? He was Saul and Silas. And he called for him. He said he wanted to hear this gospel. Well, there was with that sergeant a man named Elymas. Elymas, funny name. But the Bible says that name meant he was a sorcerer. And he was with, or maybe the right hand, was not sure, but he's there with him. And the Bible says that he tried to prevent Saul, maybe it was Barnabas, am I right? Let's read it, okay? I don't want to mess things up on that. Jump over here with me, over to Acts chapter 13. Let's get it all right, okay? Because I got two or three things going on in my head at the same time, and it's just messing with me, okay? 13:6. It says, and when they'd gone through the isle into Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul, right, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Look what happened. Because Paul made that statement, because he spoke out a word in faith toward the sorcerer. Now notice then, Christians are not mean people. Come on now. I know you know some that you think are mean, but Christians are not, let me say, Christians are not supposed to be mean people. It's not our intention to hurt anybody. But notice, this was an important thing. This man's salvation was at stake. And this devil was trying to keep this man from receiving salvation. So Paul, or Saul, however you want it, he spoke straightly to the enemy and told him, you'll be blind for a season. That meant he wasn't going to stay blind. He didn't speak blindness over him for the rest of his life. Just long enough to get him out of the way, and also to show that chief there, that sergeant, that the power of God was real. Because once he saw what had happened, he believed and received the Lord Jesus Christ. See, what he spoke out changed the situation and caused that man to receive the Lord. That's why it's very important when we're talking about confession that you and I are confessing what the Word says, and we're telling people and we're decreeing things that come to pass. Amen. When somebody asks you to pray, you don't just, and they say, well, this is happening. I've had people say, well, I kind of feel like maybe there's a devil around or what. I just tell them, I say, I'm not praying for no devil. I'm going to tell that devil to go. You can't pray for somebody that's got a devil. You can't pray for somebody that's got an oppressing spirit. You have to command that thing to leave their life. Praying ain't going to get them to go, because it ain't God's job to get them to go. He put you here to do that. And part of that is taking the authority over every demonic force that's trying to come against you and stop the move of God. Sometimes you just got to tell the devil to shut up. Sometimes you got to tell the devil to stop in his operations. Amen. Demonic spirits, command them to stop in their operations in somebody's life. Now you say, well, how can I do that? If they ask you to pray for them, that's giving you the opportunity and permission to exercise it. Now, sometimes you may have, depends on how bad it is. You may say, do you want this to go? And you'll need them to say yes. Because you can't cast out a demon that the person don't want to go. Amen. No matter, you know, if they're acting like they want it. I say, I've had that happen before. I've had people bring somebody else and say, you know, we need to cast this devil out of them. Well, you know, if they don't want the devil cast out of them, I don't care if 20 people brings you. Right? It's up to that person to decide they want the devil to go. That's when that authority comes in. That's when you begin to speak with authority, your confession. That's part of the faith. You believe what the Word says, right? Come on. You speak in the name of Jesus and they have to go. So part of your confession is the fact that you are speaking out with authority, decreeing things, and they will come to pass. That's why I've been telling you about these weather systems. Speak against those things. Not all of them are the devil. Did you hear me? There's some of those weather systems that are coming through. Men's been messing with the weather, kind of. So you have to be careful. Okay? You have to be careful and not just allow things to run its path. It don't matter who created it. You speak against it. Now, if it's a God thing, God's not going to harm you. He's not going to do something to you because every good and perfect gift comes from God. God's not the one that kills, steals, and destroys. So, if it's, you know, I understand we have natural weather patterns that come against. But here's the thing. Jesus spoke to a weather pattern. Right? Now, I personally believe it was a weather pattern that the devil was manipulating. Amen. I believe the enemy was trying to take Jesus out before he made it to the other side. Him and his disciples. But either way, he spoke to it and it did what he said. And that's what you need to do. You need to speak against these things. Don't just allow it to go, well, I don't know that there's anything coming about it. Better say, they said the tornado's already on the ground. Well, it can get back off the ground the same way it got on the ground. Right? Don't matter what it's doing, wherever it's at, you speak to it. You stop it. Keep it from happening. I know it. I know I sound like a crazy man, but you can do what you want to. Let it destroy you if you want to. But I've learned a few things. Amen. It ain't always been this way, and I ain't always been this crazy. But if I'm crazy, it's over the Word and what the Word of God says. So our confession, after we've believed and gotten the Word, our confession is to use the authority of God and the authority of God's Word. But it's also, there's the kind of confession where you receive something from God by what you say. If thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Notice there's the belief that goes there, but then there's got to be that confession. And that confession is a confession of receiving. So a lot of people, when it comes to the things of God, they don't understand. When you have a promise of God, hear from the Word. Many times, all you have to do is say, Father, here's what your Word says. For example, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. Who His own self bore our sins in His own body, being on a tree, being dead to sin, that we might live unto righteousness, whose by stripes you were healed. I might have pummeled that a little bit, but that's what He said. Okay. You can say, your Word says this. Now, I believe, I receive your healing in Jesus' name. I'm confessing that out of my mouth. That's part of my confession, is that I believe what the Word says for me. See, and that's where we sometimes people have a problem, is they can't receive it for themselves. But, well, I don't know how I could ever get that. One of the reasons that people are not more prosperous, well, two reasons, but probably the number one reason is they're not givers. Come on, don't get mad at me, though. You've got to tithe and give if you expect a return. But then the other thing is, you know, you can be a tither and giver, but if you don't believe you can receive wealth and blessing and prosperity, you're not going to walk in that to the degree that God wants you to. Now, I mean, God will bless you for giving. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, if you really want to walk in the fullness of it, you've got to see yourself there. You can't see yourself, well, I don't know if we'll ever get out of debt or not. I'm gonna keep giving God's blessing, but I just don't see us ever. Don't see yourself. See yourself debt free. See yourself financially independent and a blessing to everybody you're around. Matter of fact, see yourself as one of those people that other people want to get around because you're so blessed they'll get blessed too. Amen. You've got to begin to see that and understand that and know people wanted to be around Jesus because good things was happening. Well, you're an anointed child of God. People ought to want to be around you so that they see somebody come up and say, you pray for me, you lay hands on them, they get healed just like that right there. Amen. And here's the thing, too. If you want to be prosperous, and I got into this a little bit, but if you want to be prosperous and be blessed, don't hang around losers. Come on. Don't hang around people that are broke all the time. You say, well, they can't help being broke. Yes, they can. Yes, they can. You're looking at me funny. There's jobs out there everywhere. Come on. There's the way. See, you got to start somewhere. If you don't get a... Remember we talked about if you don't work, you don't eat. And, right? You got to have something that gives you seed. And then by faith, you sow seed. It don't have to be a lot of seed. Come on now. It's the faith in the seed. Come on. If you make $100 a week and you give that $10 a week, you're giving the same as if somebody was making $1 million a week and giving $100,000. That's why God set up the tithe system. It put us all on the same playing field. Your 10%, no matter what you make, is equal to somebody else's 10%, no matter what they make. And it's all seen as faith toward God that God will give increase. Amen. When He sees your faithfulness, then He begins to increase. Well, see, what you're doing is you're placing faith in the Word of God that God will do what He said He would do. Right? And so you can say, I'm a tither, Lord. Your Word says tithe and give. I'm a tither and a giver. I believe I receive my financial prosperity. Notice that. I believe I receive. That's my confession. I believe I receive in Jesus' name. And so when we start looking at the process of faith, number one, we've got to believe the Word's true. Right? Number two, we've got to believe what we're reading is true. Right? And then we begin to confess that. Right? We confess. We use what we believe we receive here. We confess it out of our mouth. And then here's the last thing I want to talk about. It's actions. You have to act like it's so. Come on now. You can't say, I believe I received my healing and walk around like you're wanting everybody to pity you. You can't believe you receive your healing and get on social media and, I just don't know if I could even live, could feel any worse if I was dead. You know, believe me, you'll get all kinds of praying hands and you'll get people, oh, we're praying for you. They ain't done that. They're doing their social media thing. They're not praying because they're on social media. I know there's folks love attention. I mean, I've got some friends on there now that are just about to, you know, they're just, I'm like, I just like to. Yeah, I better not say that. People think I'm mean. But, I mean, why? Why do you get on social media and spread all your things? If you're sick, believe God for your healing. And if you're going to get on Facebook and say anything, get on there and say, I believe I received my healing in the name of Jesus, if you want some attention. But it'd be best off if you just keep it between you and God or get somebody that can believe with you and you just keep it like that. Without putting your business all over the world. Right? You know, and you can't believe in God for prosperity and run around hollering all the time, I'm too broke to do anything. You may not have any money, but you're not broke. Because you have a promise from God. Come on, and you're doing what you're supposed to do so that promise will be fulfilled. Come on now. So, you know, if somebody asks you about something and you don't have the money, you say, well, I don't have it right now. Come on, that's an act of faith right there because you're believing God is going to come. You see, so you put actions to it. James said, you know, you can say you've got faith, but he said, I'll show you my faith by my works. Amen. Now, see, folks, I understand when you talk about works, then people are all freaking out. Oh, you can't have works. You don't get saved by... I didn't say anything about getting saved. I'm talking about receiving things from God. I'm talking about faith here where you put actions to it. And so, not only am I going to say it, but I'm going to act on it. I'm going to believe God. And see, if I'm not acting... I've told this again, but I remember Dad Hagin said when he was laying on that bed, and him bedfast, and they were thinking he's going to die, the preachers was coming to see him, the doctors were coming, shaking their head, and he's with his Bible believing, and he's confessing, like I'm telling you right now, the process of faith. And he's telling God, he said, God, I believe I received my healing, and I thank you. Your word declares I'm the healed of God, so if the word says I'm healed, I am healed. And he said he was just saying that all the time to the Lord. And he said it one day, and the Lord said, well, anybody that's healed ought to be up out of the bed. And I've told you the story, how his legs wouldn't move. He flopped them over the side of the bed. He hit the floor when he tried to get out of the bed. But in the process, he started receiving strength to his legs. And before it was over with, he's running around the room, went down to eat breakfast, and it was a done deal. Why? Because he acted on what he was believing and confessing. Amen. According to the Word. You know, and don't try to be some secret agent. I mean, God understands our heart, but he said you have not because you ask not. So we need to be asking God for things, but at the same time, find in the Word where it says it's his promise to you. See, because the Word of God is the will of God. And so when I ask anything according to his will, the Bible says he hears me. And I know if he hears me, I have the promise that I've asked him for. And so it's just a matter of us going through this process, getting ourselves past the weak areas, strengthening ourselves there by the Word of God, and getting ourselves to where we can believe God for anything. That's God's will for us. Did you know that? God's will for every believer is for us to believe God for anything. You know what? If Old Testament saints could believe God like that, and they didn't have the Holy Spirit in the inside of them, shouldn't we be even more so? Come on, kind of think about it. Elijah hit the water, parted the water, called down fire, right? Come on now. See, you start thinking about that, just seems like stuff that's impossible. But it was something that was needed for that time and that situation, and when they acted in faith, it happened. Now, they realized that it was God. And let me just go ahead and say this before somebody does get off on here. Everything I'm telling you is because we are born again believers, have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and the things I'm talking about us doing is God working through us, his power, bringing it to pass. It's not us, but God in us. But he told us to occupy till he comes. You can't occupy without the necessary tools to occupy. Come on. You can't defeat the enemy without the necessary weapons to defeat the enemy. And faith, the Bible says, is the victory that overcomes the world. So we just need to continue to operate in faith, believe God, and watch how God uses you to change things. That's what he wants. He wants world changers. Anybody in here a world changer? Come on, stand up with me. Let's pray. Father, we ask you, God, tonight to help us, Lord, to get ourselves to that place, God, that, God, we're not struggling with what the Word says. We're believing it. We're acting on it. We're confessing it, Lord. And we're watching things come to pass.